So legal opinions, the purpose is basically, you know, it's what y'all require. Many times these are adhesive contracts of adhesion. There's not too much negotiating, at least that we found as community association attorneys. It's a take it or leave it as to a lot of the core terms. But community association attorneys, you will find, or you probably know this already, we try to limit our scope as much as possible and limit our opinion as much as possible to what's within our knowledge, what documents we have in our possession, the laws that we've reviewed. So the community association attorney is going to try to limit their scope as it relates to the opinion letter and provide some of those qualifiers. One of the aspects of the opinion letter is, and one of the checklist items, is that the attorney has reviewed all of the dedicatory instruments of the POA. A dedicatory instrument is any kind of rule, regulation, bylaw, articles of incorporation, CC&Rs, all those terms of art. Those are all dedicatory instruments and are required to be filed in the real property records for the county in which the community association is located. So if you want an opinion letter that is going to actually be all-encompassing, there's going to be that qualifier, hey, based on the documents in my possession that I've reviewed, X, Y, and Z, you may want to get the association working with the community association attorney to run what is called a general report, a general's title report. So it's a third, you know, you get a title company to basically find the dirt and look for any and all documents that is attached to the dirt and then produce a results list so that the attorney can look at that, look at the documents in his or her possession, and make sure that we're reviewing everything. Nine times out of many associations that I first take on, we run that general's report on the front end, and 90% of the time I'm missing documents. And you don't want one of those missing documents to be a Fifth Amendment to the declaration that requires owner approval, where previously it could have been board approval. So that's just maybe a helpful checklist item for lender counsel to think about. Make sure that that community association attorney has all of the governing documents when they are giving the legal opinion. Contravention and impairment, basically, there are a lot of bylaws out there that require the association to enter into a contract, allowing them to terminate the contract at will, or to place some sort of term limit on the length of the contract. So again, be mindful of that. The attorney should be looking at that and making a representation, but that can sometimes float out there. So don't be surprised if counsel comes back and says, hey, we've got to amend our bylaws, because we've got a term limit in the bylaws and we've got to get around that because we're dealing with a 10 or 15 year loan. And on contravention and impairment, again, do we have all the governing documents? I've already addressed that. And then finally, litigation. Pending or threatened litigation, myself, when I issue these opinion letters, I'm gonna list everything, anything and everything I'm aware of. Again, it's within my knowledge. We try to run searches for the county in which the property is located, type in the association's name, make sure there's no pending litigation we weren't made aware of, that management company maybe didn't get notice of or did and just didn't tell us. So these are some of the red flags that we've had to deal with in terms of providing opinion letters and going through the checklist. And one of the biggest ones we've got to deal with for community associations is assessment delinquency. And it's typically anything 60 days past due. So anything over 60 days past due, and then there's a percentage associated therewith. I haven't seen many loans go through for a delinquency over 15%. There've been a few where it's 18, but most of them it's below 15 or below 10. And what I do with my community associations when I find out that they are interested in getting into a loan and are going to start looking for a lender is look at that delinquency rate right now and look at what your bad debt is and basically try to clean up your financials as much as possible. if you've got to get a little bit more aggressive in your collection tactics, so be it. But this one kills the deal more often than not for the opinion letters and loan processes that I work on. So owner versus tenant occupied, 60% rule is typically what we've seen. If you've got an owner occupation less than 60%, it gets a little bit tougher. I've found that it's not necessarily a determining factor, but it can weigh heavily against making the loan if we're getting into the 40% or lower rate. And the idea being that if you're dealing with more investor-owned units, and this is typically condominiums, not single-family townhomes, there's a higher likelihood that the investor's not going to be paying assessments timely. You need the assessments to pay back the loan, so there's a little bit more risk and a little less likelihood that the loan transaction is going to be completed.